Hey friends, before we dive into today's episode, we wanted to give you a quick update about what's been going on behind the scenes here at Hell on Heels podcast.
Yeah, if you've noticed we've been a little off schedule lately, you're not wrong. Life has been a lot. We both work full time, we got families, and as much as we love this podcast, it's still our hobby.
So to give ourselves a little breathing room, we're switching to an every other week release schedule for the summer. It's just temporary. We'll reevaluate in the fall and see if we're ready to get back to weekly episodes.
This summer, I'm really soaking up time with my stepson. He'll be here with us for the foreseeable future. And I'm also enjoying time with my own kids, plus getting the chance to visit family and friends back home. This is just a rare chance to slow down and really be present.
And I'm deep in baby land with the Twerds. It's their first summer where they're kind of aware of the world around them, and I want to soak it all in. Sprinklers, popsicles, dirt, chaos, carnivals, rodeos. The whole typical Utah summer experience.
We love doing this show, and we're definitely not going anywhere. We just want to make sure we're taking care of the important stuff first.
Thanks for sticking with us, for being patient, and for being part of our weird little corner of the internet.
We seriously appreciate every single one of you. Now, let's get into this week's episode.
Podcast uses profanity and topics may be disturbing for some listeners. Listen at your own risk. Welcome back to Hell on Heels podcast. I'm Bryce.
I'm Amanda.
And hello, welcome.
Hi. How's it? So,
you first, because I'm eating.
Oh, okay. So, hi everyone. Welcome back. You already said that. I'm not good at this.
How are you?
I am well. Thank you for asking. That's what I needed. Okay. I'm good. Let's see. So when we're recording this, Mother's Day is tomorrow, and I already have all my stuff. Bryce already knows what it is, but y'all don't. So I got...
because I ordered it. Well, some of it.
Yeah. Bryce, what's the word? I keep wanting to say coagulated.
I didn't coerce.
There it is. Thank you. Yes.
I know Bryce... you're trying to say coerce. I gently suggested, and then...
Yes.
More aggressively demanded.
So Bryce got together. Bryce coagulated with Jane. And I got for Mother's Day an Owala. It's wonderful. It's great. It's one of the color drop ones. It's called, what is it? Out of Orbit?
Out of Orbit, yeah.
Oh my God. It's gorgeous. It's got like constellations and celestial suns and moons on it. It's wonderful. I love it so much. And then I also got a sweater from Swig and a gift card, obsessed. And then he was going to get me a tumbler from there, but I'm impatient and I bought it myself. Mm-hmm. He was upset with me, but only because I beat him to it. And then what happened? Oh, we went. So I sent you a Snapchat. We went out to this seafood place in Arkansas, which I'm always apprehensive of. But the new girl, well, she's not new anymore. She's in the phone. She's taking calls now, so I don't count her
as new. She's just newer than you.
Yeah, the newest girl on our team. Her mom is from Louisiana, and they go down there often. So, like, she said it was good seafood. I trust her judgment. She was correct. It was good seafood. We went, and James got snow crab legs and
shrimp
and sausage. Oh, sausage was good. And then I got, obviously, crawfish and shrimp. And the kids got chicken and french fries. Oh, and then we got cheesecakes to share. So Lee and I shared a cheesecake, and James and Annie shared a cheesecake.
I thought for sure you were about to say that. And then Lee gave himself a concussion because of me.
That was an accident. It wasn't a concussion. He hit his nose. So he was like... he kept leaning towards me on the table. This is a Snapchat that I sent multiple people because I am the mother I am, guys. Like, it is what it is. He was, like, leaning towards me, and I would, like, boop his nose, and he'd back up, and he'd lean towards me, and I booped his nose. And then he just kind of, like, stayed there, so I kind of, like, tickled his neck, And he put his head down, and when he did, he like booped his nose on the table, and he kind of cried, and I was like, oh no, tickle, tickle, keep tickling.
He was fine.
Yeah, he was fine. But how about you? I see your sombrero.
Yes. I'm good. I also have all my Mother's Day gifts.
Uh-huh.
This is my first ever Mother's Day.
Congratulations.
Yes. So I also got an Owala tumbler, but that was me telling Cody, this is what I'm getting for Mother's Day. I'll order it. Don't worry about it. And then that's exactly what I did. Just so you know, like, I quote unquote conspired with James to get Amanda the tumbler, but mm-hmm. I let James, he's not going to listen anyways. No. I let him believe that we were being secretive. Me and him were being secretive. All the while, this is how this worked, is Amanda and I were messaging at work one day. And I started sending her Owalas. And then she actually discovered on her own the out-of-orbit Owala. Okay,
it's so beautiful.
I sent that one. I sent, because she likes the color purple. So I sent her the spring collection, which is like an all-purple Owala. So I was like, that's kind of fun. And she found the out-of-orbit one on her own, which is one I already had my eye on. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny, because I think I've actually sent you a picture of it before to be like, look how pretty. And I think you just forgot about it. It's fine.
Yeah, anyways. I think you did, because you sent me many that day.
Anyways, so I asked her if she wanted me to hint at James. And I did. I went straight to Snapchat. I found James and I said, hey, I found Amanda's Mother's Day present she really likes. I gave him two options. I gave him the option of the all purple one. And I said, but I think she likes this color drop one more. And then a couple days later, we were talking about it again at work. And I said, do I need to offer to order it since I'm already ordering one for myself so that James doesn't F it up? And I think the answer was, yeah, probably. So
yep.
Before I even got a response from you, by the way, I had already messaged James to be like, hey, since this is such a pain in the ass to get, do you want me to just like order one for Amanda? Like on your behalf, we can figure out payment stuff. And then when the Swig Cup came out, I wasn't sure if he was going to do that or the Owala. And then you ended up getting the Swig Cup anyways. So he stuck with the Owala. And the day before, I was like, are you sure? Like, I just need you to confirm because I'm ordering them tomorrow. And day of, I was like a crackhead on that website. 9:59, refreshing the screen. I put a little 20-minute block on my calendar. It was
at work.
Yeah. I didn't even need to do 20 minutes. I meant to do it like a 5-minute block starting at 10 and it just ended up being 20 minutes. So a little 20 minute block. And I just sat there refreshing the screen for a good minute. And then it got in and then I had to pull it up on my phone because I was like, oh shit, I have to place an order for two separate locations. Oh, so yeah. I let James truly believe that this was all secretive all the while. And okay, I continue to pretend to be secretive to Amanda. I did things just in case James saw anything. So I was like, James, I reminded her about the drop, but I made sure that it was like all sold out. Which was actually a true statement because I just forgot to say, like, I ordered them. I was like, oh, I almost forgot to get my Owala. Like, I got it, though. I did not almost forget my Owala.
Bryce was doing overtime, guys.
I was. And then, like, in text, I was like, yeah, Amanda, stop being nosy. And then I'm going over to our messaging because I know he's not doing her work messages. And be like, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm just trying to play it up for James's sake. So, in case you're wondering, me and James make a great team.
You do. By the way, Cody sucks. Because Bryce also finally got her birthday gift, which we did record it. So y'all will hear about that. My next paranormal. There he is.
Well, we recorded my reaction to Paolo.
Yes.
I don't know the story behind him, but I did make sure to acknowledge him this morning.
Yeah. I don't want to tell you too much because the episode itself is also part of your gift. But I'm not just going to send him to you and be like, here, figure it out. No.
As okay. I'm over here, like, is this supposed to be a damn it doll? I'm glad you told me it's not.
Wait, what is a damn it doll?
Oh, you've never heard of a damn it doll?
I've never heard of a damn it doll.
But I want one. Last night, a damn it doll is meant like, It's supposed to be sturdy, but like you can bang that shit on stuff and like, God damn it.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, there's no way in hell I would be able to sew one of those. If you're supposed to bang it on stuff, please don't bang him on anything. He's done for, I'm telling you.
No, that's why I was a little nervous about it at first.
So all I will tell y'all for now is that basically Bryce got a paranormal care package. Mm-hmm. And when I was
behind me,
when I was sending that, I was going to send candy or something, you know, like something to snack on, something sweet. And so I Snapchatted Cody and I was like, hey, which I just remembered. I have his number. I could have texted him, whatever. We process through Snapchat. Okay. I Snapchatted him and I was like, hey, what's Bryce's favorite candy? And he didn't message me back until like an hour and a half later when I was already at home.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah. But even then I was like, wait, this is going to be mailed from Arkansas to Utah. I don't know if anything perishable is a good idea.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. So whatever, Cody. Thanks. Thanks anyway.
God, what did he tell you is my favorite candy, though? That's a really important question.
I saved it. You want to test him?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's the test. He doesn't even know that's happening.
Depends on her mood. Carmelo, the purple bag of the sour nerd things. I imagine he meant the clusters.
It's not the purple bag. But yeah, he was talking about the nerd clusters. It's the green bag. The green bag.
Oh, those are limited edition.
That's all gone now everywhere. Yes.
He also said the pink sugar cookies, but she is very picky on her sugar cookies. I imagine these are also like the seasonal sugar cookies, like the spring ones at Walmart or whatever. Oh.
It's just a brand issue.
Okay. Well, I like how he told me that you're picky on them and did not tell me which ones you like.
Uh-huh. Yeah, hearing that one. I'm feeling, okay, he got that it depends on my mood, correct? But like Carmelo's, I haven't been like, oh, I'm craving a Carmelo in a while. At the time, it was the nerd clusters, but he got the color wrong.
So half credit?
I don't know. I don't even know if he gets, it's more like a quarter credit.
He got the sugar cookies, but he didn't tell me what kind.
But the sugar cookies are also, I guess maybe I demolished them last time that you got them. yeah, look, all I know is, he gets quarter credit.
Okay. Because better than zero.
I just feel like he didn't do as well as he could have. You know what?
Oh, I know exactly what you mean, because I was like, what the hell, Cody?
An hour late. Also, I am now showing Amanda a Damn It doll.
A Dia de los Muertos Damn It doll, specifically. Love him.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine it's a him. I mean, he doesn't have big hip bones.
No, he doesn't. Yeah, I think it's a him. Mm-hmm. I feel like these are all probably hims.
Grasp it firmly by the legs and find a place to slam it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds fun. Don't do that with Paolo. Because
I already assumed that. But that's why I asked it, because I was like, this doesn't feel like the most dirty Damn It doll.
No. Because I hand sewed her gift and I do not sew.
I do not sew, and it is sewn.
Yes. So interpret that how you will.
Do with that information what you will. Just know I tried, is what she's saying.
Exactly.
And you know what? I appreciate it. Paolo sits behind me right there.
He looks like he belongs there. I love it.
He does. He does. And so there's Paolo Sasquatch.
Hold on. Let me see.
This is from you.
Oh, yes. The Sasquatch and the gnomes.
Yeah. Sasquatch and gnomes right here.
So I had to go back to your screen because I was looking at you, your live.
Yeah. Let's see. What else do I have on here? I mean, aside from the stuff from yesterday, like the sage and the holy wood and the astronaut bunny.
The astronaut bunny.
Probably needs to go in the shed because Easter's over.
It's still spring.
He's fine. He can hang out.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, fine. I asked for a reason. I was hesitant to consider him a dammit doll until you had confirmation. And even at that, even if he was a dammit doll, mm-hmm. I was not going to be using him as a dammit doll. So, yes, it made me a little anxious.
Yeah, the seams would burst. The beads would go everywhere. The little sombreros barely hanging. So
it's on there pretty well.
Oh, is it? Did I tie it? I don't remember. Oh, okay. No,
it's around his chin, so it's on there pretty well.
Okay. Yeah. Everyone is like, what the hell are y'all talking about?
And I will still post a picture of him. Don't worry.
Still have two episodes to really find out.
You know what? I'll post a picture of him. You know what? I'm not going to post a full picture of his body. I'm going to do like a close up of like an eye or something.
Love it.
And you guys can tell me what you see, okay?
I love it.
I also asked if it was a voodoo doll because I was a little concerned.
No. And if I did make you a voodoo doll, it would have good juju, not the bad juju.
Okay. You just got to be sure. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Anyways, what were we even talking about? We went off
everything,
Paolo. Yeah.
I think everything. We were talking about Mother's Day. We were talking shit about Cody. We were talking about Paolo. The Owalas.
I think that's how we got started, because I was actually also going to say the other thing that Cody and the boys got me was this really beautiful bouquet of flowers.
It was so pretty.
I will say, to give Cody credit, he said, I told them heavy on the yellow.
Okay.
Done. He at least knows my favorite color. He may not know my favorite candy, but he knows my favorite color. No, I don't. He just asked if I know my favorite candy. Nope. I'm sure.
So we got to move him up to half credit then, right?
No. He still only gets quarter credit, okay? First of all, I feel like cookies aren't candy anyways. So, like,
no. I might automatic. Have said snack, maybe. Maybe I said candy and snacks.
We're going to call it candy and say he only gets quarter credit on that one. He said my favorite candy is whatever he's eating. It's because he gets candy and I don't.
No, that's wife tax. That's not favorite
candy. That's wife tax. That's wife tax.
James knows my favorite. That's why he launched a bag of sour Skittles at me. Sour
Skittles directly at you. Yeah, I saw that.
Uh-huh. Aggressive, but that's fine.
Unnecessary.
No, they were necessary. I asked.
I know. I meant the launching.
Oh yes.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, anything else you want to share? We've been going on for a minute. Don't die. Don't choke on your candy. Hold on. Do I need to text James that you need CPR? You need the Heimlich? Hold on, Amanda's literally choking in front of me, and my phone is dead. Anyways, I couldn't save your life by messaging James.
So I wasn't exactly choking. It was that weird, like I swallowed, I still had the Skittles in my mouth, but I swallowed all of the sour. Oh. And it was weird, like, I think I had to cough, but I couldn't cough, and also I was afraid to cough.
Your throat was constricting because of the sour, and you didn't know what to do. Yeah, okay.
Yep. I'm good, though. I'm alive. We're good.
I think that's what counts, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, are you ready to talk about some socials?
Yeah, let's hear them.
Well, socials are, the thing, because we have them. So we've got Instagram, Helen Heels Podcast, Facebook, Helen Heels Podcast, X Hill on Heels Pod. I hesitated on Instagram because I almost said Helen Heels Pod for X, but it's fine, guys. Instagram, Facebook, full thing. X, they cut me off because they're jerks.
Yep.
So it's only Helen Heels Pod. And then we also have our Discord up and going if you want to join us on Discord so we can all talk shit or do whatever the hell else we want to do. You can join us on Discord. The link for that is on our link tree. And if you go to any of our socials, you'll find the link to our link tree. Or if you just Google Helen Heels Podcast link tree, surprise, surprise, it's going to come right up.
Love it.
And then we have our email. So if you want to email us comments, suggestions, words of encouragement, if you want to email us complaints, please do.
Yes.
So that we can laugh at them.
We will.
Possibly
on the air. Air? On recording.
Possibly on the air. Live on the air.
It's Saturday night. It's not. It is Saturday night.
It is Saturday night.
Wow.
We
okay.
We record on Saturday night.
Oh, I'm so clever.
So if you want to do any of that, hellandheelspodcast@gmail.com. You can email us there. And then if you do enjoy listening to our bullshit, all the fun stuff, make sure to tell friends, family, all of that to listen as well. And then I think Amanda has some news.
Some news or a story?
Both. Some news that this story is two parts.
Okay, yes. Whoa, sorry. I was like,
news, I'll spoil it.
Yeah, in my head, I was like, oh my God, do I have news? I'm not prepared for this.
Pregnant,
shut your mouth. You take it back.
TikTok has started showing me TikToks again.
I'm gonna start sending them back. Anyway, yes. So my next paranormal is directly intertwined with Bryce's birthday gift. So I know we've been talking about it. She's going to post a little teaser. But it's going to be not next episode, but the one after before you get to hear about that. Because this is a two-parter. Because I started researching and I couldn't stop. Now, I told Bryce. I'm sorry. I just looked at my notes. And at the top, I said Mother's Day was arson. I think it was supposed to be Mother's Day was awesome. Anyway.
Okay. For anyone that is committing arson on Mother's Day, there's concern. Were you a mother and did they deserve it? Okay. Were there spiders?
So my true crime is about someone in particular. And I think I told Bryce it was like a mobster, but not a mobster in that realm.
Yeah.
Yes. So,
and then I said, I should probably do a mobster soon. And I haven't.
Well, I now know. I think your last mobster was two episodes. Yeah.
Kind of, because it was, one was about Arnold Rothstein and the other was about the Black Sox scandal.
That's what it was. So. Okay. No, this guy just has a freaking history. Okay. This is Sonny Barger, and he is we'll get into it, but how I'm gonna word it is that's worse.
Significantly worse.
Wow. Are you in a cloud? She's cleaning her, well, she's de-cleaning
I her am camera. My camera.
She's attempting to clean it. Hold What's on. Going on
out,
over there?
We're breaking out the big guns.
Is it a wet wipe?
The lens wipe. Okay, better?
Yes, much better. So, this is Sonny Barger, and a lot of people say, like, he established the Hells Angels. He founded the Hells Angels. So I will say...
Motorcycle, right?
Yeah, the motorcycle gang. I'm sorry, excuse me. The motorcycle club. I will say...
Close enough.
He made the Hells Angels what they are. He did not found them technically, but we'll get into all that. So, Sonny Barger. His actual name was Ralph Hubert Barger Jr. He went by Sonny. He was born October 8th, 1938 in Modesto, California. His mother, Catherine Carmella, was of Italian descent. And his father, Ralph Hubert Barger, was German and Dutch. Now, when Sonny was 4 months old, his mother abandoned their family. And it was said that his...
4 months?
4 months.
I like that I did 40, but I meant 4 months. Like, he's only 4 months old. 4 old.
Yeah. Yeah, he was young.
And his mother?
His mother, yeah. So apparently his dad was said to have been either in jail or prison or something like that. And she would take a bus to go visit him. It said that she actually ran off with that bus driver and abandoned her whole family. That so
bus driver's not a.
Sonny and his older sister Shirley were left in the care of their father, and Shirley's often given credit to raising Sonny.
Well, I assume this is after their father was out of prison.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you say that like their father couldn't be in prison when he was born.
Well, I mean, I'll get into it, but his grandmother, his paternal grandmother also helped raise him.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Shirley's often given credit to raising Sonny. She wasn't much older than him.
Like, I think there may have been about a year and a half between them. And now his dad worked at the Oakland docks. He was a day laborer. And he would just, he helped load ships and trucks that came to the docks. He spent his nights in the bars along the water. Also, most of his money was spent there. And he would bring Sonny with him to these bars. And according to Sonny, he would swipe pretzels and hard-boiled eggs when people weren't looking. And he learned his first curse words from a parrot at the bar.
I love it.
I love it so much. I
love it.
Sonny, he never did well in school. He admittedly never liked being told what to do. He would go, he would, yeah, right. He would get in trouble for bad grades and assaulting teachers.
Sir, calm down.
It was said that he preferred fighting to studying, and he was suspended numerous times. He smoked weed for the first time at 14 years old. Now, for the record, Sonny himself claims that he just lost interest in school. He spent his time reading and working at a grocery store, not robbing and stealing, which was very widely claimed. But I'll go in to talk about it later. Sonny Barger has started movies. He's written books. He's done tons of interviews. And from the interviews I've watched, he doesn't seem like the person that's going to lie about his life. So
if he's open book. He's just like, yeah, this is who
exactly.
I am.
Exactly. Yeah. And if he's just lost interest in school, again, this is in the 50s and 60s, right? So it wouldn't be that common to drop out of high school and start working.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say that common? It wouldn't be uncommon.
I know you meant uncommon. I was literally about to correct you. I'd be like, I think she means uncommon. Don't be dumb.
I'll try. So, now, Sonny also maintains he had a happy childhood. He said in one interview, and this is a quote, you know, I thought I was the happiest kid in the world. My father drank, so what? He loved me and he took care of me. I didn't have a mother, but I had 15 mothers on the block.
Okay, but that's also kind of sweet. Like, in the sense of, you know, like, I didn't have a mother of mine, but I had.
Yeah.
I had, like, I might have lost one, but I gained, you know, 15 others.
Right. It sounds like he could go with any problem to any house on his street and just be welcomed in and be like, all right, you know, what do you need?
Right. And that's what, like, my brain is going to is like he was taken care of.
Exactly. He was raised, like I mentioned, he was raised by his father, his older sister, and his paternal grandmother. He either dropped out of school or was expelled at 16 years old. Again, sources varied. And he joined the army with a forged birth certificate. Now, he was in the army for a little over a year before military authorities discovered this lie. He was sent back home, where he held numerous jobs over the years. He worked as a janitor, a pipe threader, potato chip assembly line worker. And from 1960 to 1965, he worked as a machine operator before being fired due to his absences. While Sonny was said to have liked the discipline, camaraderie, and weapons disassembly that he had in the military, he just felt like the 9-to-5 life wasn't for him. And I do, like, he, again, I'll talk about it later, he loved the military. He loved being in the military, which I thought was kind of strange for someone who didn't like being told what to do.
But it might have given him a lot of structure. Like, that's what I'm thinking, is it probably gave him a ton of structure.
Yeah, and he was very patriotic. To just die hard. Sonny claimed to have been interested in motorcycles since he was a boy. He said that he would get car sick and puke every time they went somewhere in a car. But it was also said that he was inspired by biker movies to get his own motorcycle. And he talked about wanting a close-knit group of men who could just jump on their bikes and ride cross-country if they wanted to, and just not have to worry or abide by rules and clocks and stuff like that. So in 1956, he joined his first biker group, the Oakland Panthers.
And Sonny says that he quit as quickly as he started. They would party, but they wouldn't stick together when the time came. So if someone got into a fight, they were all just like, hey, just you're on your own. Every man for himself.
Mm.
And Sonny was in search of a brotherhood. He eventually found himself as part of the Hell's Angels Motorcycle Club in Oakland. And a lot of people contribute Sonny as being the founder or the leader of Hell's Angels. But the Hell's Angels Motorcycle Club was started by World War II veterans in 1948. So, like 8 years before Sonny found it.
Mm-hmm.
And these founding members were honest blue-collar or unskilled workers looking for excitement, and many of them were ex-military. But Sonny described his chapter as a wild bunch. He said there were also former servicemen in this chapter, but their military records were less respectable. And I can't remember if I mentioned it later on, but from what I could find, Sonny, he was honorably discharged from the military. So the military was like, hey man, you're like 15, you gotta go home. He was like, or not 15, but he's like, you know, you're not 18, you gotta go home. You're a baby,
you have yeah. to go home.
This is, we don't want to get in trouble, you gotta go. But he but wasn't dishonorably. You did great
work while you were here.
Yeah, he was like, you disassembled the hell out of those guns. You can leave honorably, but you gotta go. Don't care where you go, but you can't stay here.
Yeah.
Now, when Sonny first started this chapter of the group, he was unaware of the rules here because Sonny came across the Hell's Angels kind of on accident. He was riding with a guy who was wearing a Hell's Angels hat. And so they joined up and they were like, all right, we're the Hell's Angels. And they came across another group of Hell's Angels from a different chapter. And they were like, whoa, 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 hold on. This isn't how this works. And they were able to explain to them the rules and how to officially become part of the club. So, a series of meetings were held when they met this other chapter. They had a series of meetings with the Hell's Angels from Southern California. And this is where Sonny learned their history, their rules, their regulations, and procedures. So they're becoming legit. In 1958... when the president of the San Bernardino Hell's Angel chapter, and the San Bernardino was like the headquarters at the time, he was imprisoned. That same year, 20-year-old Sonny was proclaimed de facto national president of the Hell's Angels Motorcycle Club.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, he moved up fast.
He just kind of went from, hey, you're accidentally here, hey, you're in charge.
Exactly. They were like, hey, you're doing this wrong. This is how you do it. Oh, well, I guess this is yours now.
You think so? Have this.
Now, one of the quotes I found that I kind of loved was when he joined this, the Hell's Angels, the group that he joined, was described as an undisciplined gang of delinquents. As national president, Sonny, he moved the mother chapter, or the headquarters, from San Bernardino to Oakland. There were some... Like,
you're coming to me now.
Exactly. He was like, first line of business, my backyard.
Yeah.
I'm not driving to San Bernardino.
You know what, though? Fair. That's fair.
I mean, that's his right, right?
Yeah.
There were some basic, like, organization already in place. But Sonny added additional rules, specifically pertaining to new members. Oh, I thought I muted for that. My bad. How'd you like that?
You do it all the time. I just ignore it all the time.
Specifically pertaining to new members, he also added the rule that the Hell's Angels was a male-only club starting in 1964. Now,
well, that's kind of rude, if you ask me.
I agree. So it was already mostly men. There were a few women. And Sonny argued that women were less able to defend themselves if a rival biker gang was trying to steal their patches. So they could still ride with them and party with them if they wanted to. But I guess in order to be a patch, to get a patch to be an actual member, you had to be male. He reorganized the club officers and the establishment of new chapters. And under Sunny, the first chapter abroad was established, and that was in New Zealand. So the New Zealand Hells Angels were established in 1961.
Okay.
He established a rule that there could not be a charter within 50 miles of another charter. There was to be no fighting within the club and no messing around with another member's wife or girlfriend or old lady, as they typically referred to him as.
I really like how they're referring. I hate that term. My old lady.
See, to me, it's no big deal. I think it's like a Southern thing, though. I hear that all the time. My old lady said,
I mean, I can't do I've that. Heard it. I just, it makes me like, it's just, I hate that term.
I mean, you can start calling Cody your old man.
I do, but that's because he's 8.5 years older than me. So I think that's
well, fair. Then you should be saying my geriatric man.
Well, you know what? When he hits 45, I'll start doing that. But right now, yeah. It's just old man.
When he hits 40, that's when he becomes your life support.
Yeah, so like...
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. He's got another...
Yeah, he's got 3 years. He's got a minute.
So some of the specific rules that Sunny brought to the Hells Angels... No, what? So weapons will only be shot on California rides between 0600 and 1600 hours... I feel like that's almost respectable. Why are you shooting a gun at 6 a.m? 4 o'clock? Cool. 6 o'clock? You can't start at like 9?
He was like only on California roads.
Yeah.
Guys, that's when people are out and about. That's fine. 6 a.m.
No throwing live ammunition into bonfires on runs. Feel like that's a good rule.
Good one to have. I agree. That's a good one.
No using dope during a club meeting. Okay. And no drug burn or ripoffs. I had to know what that meant. I was like, what are you burning each other with drugs? No. Above all, they were to support each other no matter what. If this Hell's Angel is in a fight, every Hell's Angel is in a fight. Doesn't matter if you know what for, just go punch somebody. Stab. So I did find another quote it's an amalgamation of quotes from Sunny in one of his many books that he wrote that goes, the story of the Hell's Angels Motorcycle Club is the story of a very select brotherhood of men who will fight and die for each other no matter what the cause. We stand up for ourselves, and a Hell's Angel should never break and run. It's like a golden rule. When a Hell's Angel fights a citizen or a rival club member, everybody rat packs to his side. So it's like when Bryce talks about how Cody doesn't know what her favorite candy is. And I'm like, yeah, he sucks.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exact.
Ride or die.
Yeah, there it is. Rat pack. I love that.
Done.
Under Sunny, membership started to rise. By 1960, this is about 2 years after he took office? No. Became king?
Took control.
Yes, took control. Or was given control.
I was going to say, I don't even know if he took control, but was forced.
It said de facto. So they were just like, here you go. Take this clipboard. This is your responsibility now. And Sonny was probably just like, I just want to fight and ride my bike. But under his membership, by 1960... The Oakland Hells Angels had established an extensive narcotics network within the club. The Hells Angels were described as part-time distributors in the 50s and 60s. Distributors in the 50s and 60s. Now, Sonny's criminal record starts in 1963. He was arrested for possession of marijuana, and he was busted for the exact same thing in 1964. Again, Sonny claims that he doesn't even like marijuana. He said he doesn't even like weed. He's tried it, just wasn't for him. And that he actually got arrested for his girlfriend's weed And he just took the hit and did the time for her. A gentleman, right? Like, he went to jail so she didn't have to.
That was kind of you.
Yeah. So he served 6 months. And in 1965 and 1966, he was arrested for assault with a deadly weapon.
That's not a little smart,
escalation.
Buddy.
A little bit. He did later come out and talk about this incident that happened in 1965. And he said that he was in a bar when somebody started bad-mouthing the Hell's Angel. Guys, I know... Well, before I started doing this research, I knew, like, 2% of information on the Hell's Angels. And I knew for a fact that you did not shit-talk.
Oh, no, absolutely not. You'll notice you and I are real quick not to say anything about it.
They are great. I love the Hell's Angels for president, honestly.
I mean, honestly.
Well, yeah, you don't shit mouth the hell shit mouth. Shit you talk, don't shit bad mouth.
Please don't shit mouth anything, okay?
Don't ever shit mouth.
That sounds horrible. Please don't shit mouth.
I was shit talking bad mouth. That's where I was. Don't shit mouth the Hell's Angels, guys. But this person did. And Sonny did not take kindly to that. So he says that his gun went off on accident. But, and this is a quote, since the motherfucker was already shot in the head, I bent over the pool table and shot him again. Sounds like a Hell's Angel.
Okay. Yeah. I guess at least he's honest.
Yeah, like I swear to you, this man is honest. I don't even know him, and I know him. And I know him
You're
to
like,
be honest.
He's not gonna lie. We all know it.
Some of the stuff he talks about in these interviews and the stuff he's so candid about, it's just like, he's gotta be, if he's not lying about that, why would he be lying about this?
Right.
Why would he be lying about... Why would he lie about not liking weed if he was pretty... damn honest about shooting someone in the head.
Yeah.
There's also another story of a rival gang stealing Sonny's motorcycle. Again.
Nice. I can already tell you this is not going to end well.
No. I know nothing about this world or this lifestyle. I know that is a death wish.
I feel like that's a death wish for anyone. Don't touch a man's motorcycle, okay?
Yeah. Well, they did. And so this is a story not from Sonny, from someone else. Sonny and some other members of the Hell's Angels assaulted these guys with spiked dog collars, whipped them with bull whips, and then broke their fingers with ball peen hammers.
Oh, Sonny, I get you're trying to teach him a lesson, but like, do we need to? You know what I mean?
How do you just like, hey, I got a spiky dog collar. Let's all go get a spiky dog collar. How do you?
Everyone, you have a dog. You have a dog. You have a dog.
Does your dog have a spiky collar? No, that's studs. That's not what we're talking about.
Spiky. Okay. Get your shit together.
Jesus Christ, Greg.
Oh my God, Greg, get your shit together. Why does this have the little protective rubber nubs on it? Get rid.
Give me your damn patch. You're out. Does anything in the Hell's Angels talk about protective rubbers? Wait, never mind. This is getting weird. Sorry, guys. Sorry. I'm just going to go on here. Sonny Barger was revered. Not only stop making that face.
Oh my god.
Sonny Barger was revered not only in the Hell's Angels, but it kind of in this world of motorcycle club, right? So the book Hell's Angels, the strange and terrible saga of the outlaw motorcycle gangs, too long, first of all, leaves something to the imagination when I'm reading this book. Claims Barger is a 6-foot, 170-pound warehouseman from East Oakland. the coolest head in the lot and a tough, quick-thinking dealer with any action when any action starts. He is a fanatic, a philosopher, a brawler, a shrewd compromiser, and a final arbitrator. Now, Barger, he has always denied that he's a boss or a leader. Some sources stated that this was like an informal position of authority. And he maintained, he's like, no, that I'm not the leader. I think he's just humble, maybe.
Or maybe he's smart.
Also that. Yeah, we'll get into that later. Probably part two. But, well, definitely part two. But, so it was stated that new charters, when they were formed, this wasn't up to Sonny. This was done by a vote. Same was new members. They would be invited to, like, hang out. But when it come to actually officially joining, it was a vote. It wasn't just Sonny said, you're cool. All right, come on in. Here's your patch. There was another rule that anybody from the Outlaws, Bandidos, or Pagan motorcycle clubs were not allowed in the Hells Angels. They did not mesh. You'll see a lot of, you will see a lot, okay, of books, websites, movies, stories, interviews, all sorts of stuff from people claiming to have infiltrated the Hells Angels. Many of these people talk about like the infiltrations, drugs, parties, murders that they witnessed firsthand while in this club. Sonny claims that these are fake. They're lies. They're trying to get money. He has always denied that the Hells Angels is a criminal organization. Now, he admits that most members are, quote, hard-carrying felons, and that they did use illicit, illegal drugs. Even Sonny himself said that he sold heroin from the late 60s, early 70s. He was printing fake IDs, but this was an individual within the club. It was not the club that did that. In the mid-60s, Sonny had attracted enough of attention that he quit his job, and he became working as a technical advisor in biker movies. He was a consultant on and cameos in the 1967 film Hell's Angels on Wheels, and he played himself in the movie Hell's Angels 69 1969 is when the movie came out. And these are just a few of his movies. He's got a ton. Like I mentioned earlier, if he was anything other than a biker, he was a patriot. He was a military veteran. He served in the army. And even though he was forcefully discharged, it was still honorably discharged. And a lot of other Hell's Angels were dishonorably discharged, but a lot of them were honorably discharged as well. A lot of Hell's Angels did serve time in the military. The Hell's Angels and Sonny, as their unofficial leader, identified as pro-war, anti-communist, and anti-subversive. I had no idea what this meant, so I Googled it. Google said that anti-subversive is people that are secretly trying to undermine or destroy a political system or the government. Okay. So they're pro-government, basically. In 1964, Sonny and Michael Tiny Walters, another Hell's Angel member, told the Oakland Tribune, our oath is allegiance to the United States of America. If there should be trouble, we would jump to enlist and fight. More than 90% of our members are veterans. We don't want no slacker. So, when students at the University of California, Berkeley, announced that they were having an anti-Vietnam War rally, the Hells Angels weren't happy about it.
Okay.
And in this rally, the students planned a march from Berkeley to the Army terminal in Oakland, and they were protesting munition shipments. On October 16th, 1965, Sonny Barger and a group of Hell's Angels attacked the anti-war demonstrators. According to witness statements, the Oakland police stood aside and let this happen, while the Berkeley police did step in and intervene. They tried to stop the assault. The Hell's Angels claimed that this attack was done in the interest of public safety and the protection of the good name of Oakland, California. Interesting. It's
in the name of public safety when you're attacking the public. But I'm just witnessing, what is it? Hindsight 2020.
Yeah. Hindsight's 2020.
The brawl was said to end with at least 6 Hell's Angels being arrested and a Berkeley police sergeant suffering from a broken leg. Any attacks on the students, I was not able to find. But this is just the beginning of Sonny Barger and his, I believe, 40 years with the Hell's Angels.
Damn.
So this is where I'm stopping today. I just wanted to give you a taste of what to look forward to in the next episode when we talk some more about his crimes, his later life. We're going to keep going.
Oh, okay. I don't know if I should be excited or not.
Yeah. You can be excited.
Okay. Good. Because I am excited.
I think it has a good ending.
Okay. You're making me a little more hesitant on that, as it was an I think. It's fine. Well, it's fine.
I will say with this story, obviously, it's the Hell's Angel. There is a ton of information out there. I am trying to keep it in line with what Sonny says happened. So there are going to be times when I have to cover, you know, like a court case specifically or like something that happened with police. But I'm trying to keep his version his side.
Okay, I see. I get it. I get you. Yeah. You're trying to tell his story his way.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I hope so. No, y'all don't come for me. Please don't come.
She's
go Hell's Angels.
Her hardest.
Hell's Angels 2025.
It was don't just lay it on music. We're gonna get in trouble. Damn.
I don't know what it is, but there's when I came across this dude, I was like, holy shit, that is a story. This is interesting. Oh. I have a podcast where I can talk about this, so here I am.
I have a platform to talk about this on, so let's do that.
Yeah.
I've got a story for you.
Okay, I would love to hear.
Okay, sorry, I gotta pull it up.
Oh, whenever you're done, I would love to hear. Whenever you're ready. Listen,
I've got to close a lot of tabs, okay? Got tabs to close, damn it. So we're going to talk about something that I just found really interesting, because I can. It's also like half my podcast, so.
Fair.
All right, buckle in, guys, because it's going to be a ride today.
I think I'm ready, question mark.
Today we're headed to England. It's a bizarre little story involving a couple creepy stone heads, poltergeist activity, and maybe a werewolf.
Okay, we got it all.
Yeah, we got it all. So the Hexham Heads have everything you could kind of want in a little paranormal cocktail.
Hexham? The objects. Like Hexham.
Hexham.
Okay, the Hexham. The cursed pig heads.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. They're not pig heads, though.
Oh, okay.
But you got the idea of how to say it. But it's got spooky objects, things that go bump in the night, and a whole bunch of people who probably shouldn't have touched anything.
People are always touching stuff.
Stop touching shit.
Why is everyone touching?
So this goes down in Hexham, Northumberland, and this starts in the early 1970s.
Okay.
So, you know, we're getting groovy up in here.
Oh.
So in 1971, two young brothers, Colin and Leslie Robson, at the time age 11 and 15, they were digging in their garden at 3 Red Avenue. That's normal stuff, right? Like, that's anything any kid wouldn't do. Dig in the garden.
Yeah, kids be digging. Yeah.
They were probably looking for worms or buried treasure.
Trying to go to China.
I think that might be a U.S. thing.
Oh, yeah.
England. Okay. They can just walk to China. I mean, maybe not legally, but they don't have to. Yeah.
Yeah, they'll be there tomorrow.
I'm not saying easily I guess no, because this is UK. Sorry, never mind. I was thinking Europe.
So where do they dig to? Maybe Australia?
No. Where does the UK dig to, if not China?
Oh my God. If that works, I swear.
South of New Zealand.
So Australia.
Well, yeah, the water.
Pacific Ocean, New Zealand. They're digging to New Zealand. Okay.
Okay, cool. Wow. I just want to say, like,
you did that. You did
that. I don't know how I did. Geography. Doesn't Australia, like, I know New Zealand is not Australia, but isn't it like part of Australia? How, like,
the continent? Yeah.
Like Puerto Rico is part of the U.S. Wait, well, not Puerto Rico.
You're like, yes, a territory? Yeah,
Puerto Rico. Yes, thank you.
I don't know for sure on that one, but it's part of the Australia continent.
I thought New Zealand was an island off of Australia.
I know, but you have 7 different continents, and that falls in the continent of Australia.
Oh, okay. So not like a tad.
Right.
I'm like thinking
Hawaii is part of the U.S., but it's not.
Gotcha. Oh my God. I'm thinking. Oh my God. We're talking about the same thing, and I might just be too literal.
I think she's losing it. We did talk for like 45 minutes before we started recording.
I'm so like gone. I'm out of here. It's been 2 hours.
Sorry.
It's been 2 hours? Wow. Anyway. Mm-hmm. So I was right. For like
45 minutes, though. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying we're saying it differently, okay?
Yeah. Oh, no. That's what I'm just, to recap, I was right about geography for the first time ever.
Okay. So they're digging in their garden. And they unearthed 2 small stone heads, roughly the size of a fist. Now, these aren't just any rocks. They were really weird. One head had a masculine look, kind of like a square jaw, and seemed very serious. The other had a more feminine features, much softer, but still very unsettling. Both had large eyes, flat noses, and almost prehistoric or Celtic vibes.
Okay.
So the boys, their kids, they take them inside and they're like, cool, look at what we just found. Cool shit. And then chaos starts.
Oh, no. Mom is pissed.
Oh, my God. Mom is like, what the fudge did you bring into this house? Go bury it.
I guarantee you it started with a puddle on the freaking floor.
And she stepped on it with socks.
Yes. Or like slippers, but not like the house slippers. Like, you know, the hard sock slippers.
Yeah.
So what you said, never mind.
Well, I know what you're talking about, but I'm not going to correct you again. So once the heads are in the house, the family reports this poltergeist-like activity. And it's very classic stuff. There's objects flying off of shelves, doors opening and slamming shut on their own. Cold drafts where there shouldn't be. Items disappearing and reappearing in weird places, which, by the way, Cody and I have that issue all the fucking time.
Paolo, get on it.
Paolo, I appreciate you not hiding my stuff and making sure nothing else hides my stuff. Thank you. I haven't given him a high five today. High foot. That was creepy because I know I touched him, but he moved on the camera. Anyways. Okay. Beds shake, which that just doesn't seem like a good sign.
Uh-uh. I hate that.
Mm-hmm. Now, their mother, Mrs. Robson, said that at one point the heads would move on their own, even when no one was watching. She also claimed to have been tugged or pulled by something invisible. So, like, NBD, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Mrs. Robson was, like, absolutely the fudge not. And this family did what every horror movie family should have done. They got the hell out of Dodge.
Hell yes.
Bye. And they move. And the heads are passed along to someone who thought they could help. So they're like, bye, house is sold, out of my life. Heads are out of my life, too. They're not coming with.
Genuine curiosity here. Who the hell thought they could help? A priest?
Well, that's where researcher Dr. Ann Ross comes in.
Ann Ross. Why does that sound familiar? Have we ever talked about her?
I think we have. I don't remember if we have or not. Here. Watch this. I can do a quick search. Ann Ross. No, I don't have her noted in anything.
I don't know why I know that name.
It could just be a random. It doesn't matter. It's fine. Dr. Ann Ross. So this is where it's going to get spicy. Because the heads, they go to Dr. Ann Ross. And she is a respected Celtic scholar and author who's just fascinated by the design of these heads. And she thought, well, these could be ancient Celtic artifacts, possibly linked to Celtic head cults. Which, by the way, I didn't know was a real thing. Like, there were Celtic head cults. People back then just had a thing for collecting heads. Like, think of it like the ancient version of Funko Pops, but, like, way more disturbing.
Like, real heads?
At least that's how I understood it. Let me double check.
That sounds fun.
Human heads appear upon. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going with
yes, human heads.
Cool.
Now, she's a folklorist, and she was all in for this. She's like, this is awesome. So she brings the heads into her own home to study them.
You know what? Take them. Take them, and they're all yours.
They're all yours, Anne. That was a mistake.
Pay to ship them.
They will be at your doorstep tonight. I'll drive them there.
Did you say that was a mistake?
That's a mistake.
Shocking.
So Anne and her family, they begin experiencing similar activity to the Robsons almost immediately. Doors slamming, objects flying, footsteps when no one was there. But the worst part? Full-bodied apparition.
No. No, I don't. I always say no. Like, I don't know if I would prefer a half-bodied apparition. But no.
What if I told you this full-bodied apparition Dr. Ross claims she saw was man, half animal creature in her hallway?
I need to know what animal and what half.
Give me like 30 seconds to get there, okay?
I'm going to guess that it is half man from the waist down, and on top it is a shark, like in Moana.
It's just Maui.
Yes, it's just Maui the man shark. It's in her hallway.
Unfortunately, it was tall, hairy, humanoid. She describes it as a werewolf, basically. And she watched it walk down the hall, open a door, and disappear as if it's just a casual Tuesday.
Okay, so it is the waist up that's a man, because werewolves don't have opposable thumbs. So to open a door.
Yes.
It's got to be waist down with a tail.
Maybe it's not like, maybe she didn't mean like the top half and bottom half. She just said half man, half animal. So maybe she's like, it's got feet like a human, hands like a human, you know, it's standing upright like a human.
I hate that even more, but the rest of it. So wait a minute. You're telling me it's a dog on two legs with human hands and feet?
I'm just envisioning a werewolf, like the werewolves, like envision Twilight. Okay.
I can't anymore. I have is a large wolf with human hands and feet in my head. And it just walks up and opens a door. And it just, after that, it can have the whole house. I'm moving in with what's their faces.
You're moving in with the Robsons?
Yes, thank you, the Robsons.
Okay. Well, Just to set the record straight, Dr. Ross wasn't just some TV psychic. She was actually very highly respected in academic circles. So, like, a lot of people are like, that makes this way creepier. She later said she felt the heads brought in something ancient and malevolent.
It's a head in your house.
It's two heads in your house.
It's double heads in your house.
Double heads. So real weird territory. So people start wondering, could these heads be linked to the Hexham Wolf legend? Whoa. So the Hexham Wolf, in 1904, a wolf-like creature was reported roaming the area, and livestock was found to be mutilated. A large wolf was eventually killed, but the panic still lingered. Some locals believed it wasn't just like a regular animal. Now, Dr. Ross's werewolf sighting combined with the heads led to speculation that the Hexham heads were cursed or tied to some supernatural entity, like a guardian spirit, maybe, or something darker. So it's, you know, your standard household demon haunting two rock faces from antiquity.
Sure.
Sure.
All the time.
Yeah. Sure. Fine. That's how it is. But
makes sense to me.
Yeah. So people are like, could this be tied to the Hexham Wolf? Now, eventually the heads make their way to Newcastle University, where archaeologists and geologists took a crack at identifying where they're from. And this is kind of where things start getting even messier.
Oh.
Because some experts say they were ancient Celtic objects, possible votive offerings. Others were like, these are more modern, citing tool markings and modern materials like cement and plaster. One man even came forward claiming that he had made the head as a craft project for the kids, for his kids years earlier. So, like, we've got some experts that are like, no, 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 these are ancient. Other that are like, yeah, but no, these are modern. And then other, like, some rando, like, oh, I made those.
What? Okay, first of all, you go sit down somewhere.
Stop making weird shit.
Stop.
And then,
how dare you?
Right. So, like, either these are relics of a long dead culture or their preschool art projects gone wrong. So the jury's still out on that one, because even after that claim, the paranormal activity tied to the heads are continuing, right? Like, people are like, but that's really strange if it's your kindergartner's art project. Like, why is there paranormal activity tied to it?
That's a very good point. I have a lot of boxes of art from my children, so I really need to hear how this turns out.
Yeah, yeah. So, interesting enough, nobody knows. So
that's not the answer I wanted, Bryce.
I can't give you the answers you want. So there's a kicker, though, because where are the Hexham heads now, right? So they went to this university, were studied. People are like, well, that's really weird. There are hauntings associated with them. Maybe a werewolf associated with them. We don't know. But here's the kicker. Nobody knows where they are now.
What? Pardon?
Yeah, they're gone. The Hexham heads vanished, and at some point they went missing from university custody, and no one has seen them since. Like, nobody knows where they are.
You know some weirdo has these heads in his attic.
Oh, I'm sure. Or he put them in, like, his parents' attic.
And I'm saying he... worse.
Yeah. Or, like, the ex-girlfriend's attic. Or, like, the ex... It could be a girl that put him in her boyfriend's attic. I feel like that would be the move. I would
punch my ex in the face if that ever happened. Because, you know, like, I've lived with multiple people. Multiple significant others. And so I have acquired things that weren't mine before that are mine now, because it's been so long. Never a head. Never a head.
It's a rock. It's a rock.
It's a shaped head. Like a head. It's a pet rock is what it is.
Well, what do you want me to tell you?
That you will never do that to me.
Well, I'd have to go to Arkansas to do that, so.
I don't recommend it here. It's hot. Oh, I mean, it's cold. It's so cold here.
That's a quick change. It's hot. No, it's not. Never come here, Bryce.
It's freezing all the time.
It's like Antarctica. The penguins should live here. Anyways, so there are theories, obviously. Some are like, well, they were stolen. Yeah, by the crazy girl whose boyfriend broke up with her and she needed a poltergeist. They're in his attic now. Someone destroyed them in fear of them, or they disappeared on their own.
That's the one I like the least.
Because that means they can reappear wherever the hell they want.
Whenever the hell they want.
I know. So whatever the case, their current whereabouts are unknown. And so is the source of their power. They're, as far as we're aware, they are still able to, or they're still tied to this poltergeist. And there's not a whole ton that we know about them now. Like, there's really not. We know two kids dug them up, and that's really it, right? So people are like, well, it's just a cursed object. It's like a haunted doll, but it's a stone. It's like Stonehenge or Annabelle, which, ooh, I didn't think about this. Maybe they're carved from Stonehenge.
They're the babies of Stonehenge.
They're the Stonehenge babies.
Yes.
That's so creepy. Okay. But something is attached to them and follows them wherever they want go, right? There's a theory about the psychic projection. Some say that the heads act as a focus point for latent psychic energy in the home, kind of like an amplifier for supernatural activity. So still weird. There's the theory with ley lines and oh my God. I've got myself all freaked out. Any movement, I'm like, what's that? the ley line or the geopathic stress theory. So this one's, you know, more woo-woo, but some believe the heads were found at a hot spot of energy and that disturbed something beneath the surface.
So, you know, the best thing. There's also the theory that, you know, mass hysteria or the power of suggestion. This is the skeptics theories. It's just in people's heads, right? Fueled by stories and fear and the power of suggestion. But the thing with that is it doesn't explain the consistent activity across multiple households.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, it's the same type of activity, and it starts and stops, like, when the product, when the rocks
the product, move. When the product is in the house!
God. It's been a long week.
I'm in pain, so I'm just making weird noises.
When the rocks move from person to person and house to house.
Oh my god. Yeah. And also, of course, the skeptics are like, it's a hoax or a misunderstanding. And they're like, well, maybe these really were homemade and people just got like a little into the ghost stories. But again, that comes to like the same, like, how do you explain the apparition and the very consistent poltergeist stories if they're just arts and crafts projects?
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know if what's their name? I keep wanting to say Robinson. It's not Robinson. Robson. Do we know if the Robsons ever experienced any more activity afterwards?
Not that I could see.
Oh, so they were just like, here, these rocks are yours now. We're out of 5,000.
Yeah. They were like, we're not doing this. Goodbye. They probably, what they did was went through like a priest car wash type of thing, like a blessing. Uh-huh. Like you just kind of walk through it and there's priests throwing holy water at them as they walk through. Uh-huh. They leave the house, yeah.
That's probably exactly what they did, yeah. It has the big tent, like, when you exterminate, but really it's just, they're just dousing everything in holy water.
Yeah, they're just, they've got, like, spray bottles of the holy water, and as mm-hmm. you walk through, they're just vigorously spraying you.
Like me, when I gave myself chemical pneumonia.
Yeah. But theirs is with holy water, so that cures the chemical pneumonia.
That's what I should have done. I shouldn't have had Clorox, I should have had holy water.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, that's what you should have done.
Sorry, Doc. Now I know.
So, what do you make of the Hexham heads? What do you think?
I want to know where they are because I want to stay away from
them. Oh, nobody knows where they are.
I don't like the fact that, like, you're telling me right now that they could be in my crawl space.
Yeah. If they
know.
No. If they know how to get to Arkansas.
I feel like that doesn't matter. Like, they can just be wherever they want to be, which also kind of badass. Like, don't come to Arkansas. Go to Hawaii. Go to Florida. Yeah. I hear it's great down there. There's oranges and hot air.
Maybe they are in Florida, and that's why we have so many crazy Florida men.
You know what? I think we just solved it.
Yeah. Someone has them somewhere in Florida, and it's taking its hold.
Yeah, it's not the Hexham heads anymore. It's the Tampa heads. The Tampa. Yeah, Miami heads.
What happens if, like, next week on the news, someone start talking about these heads that are dug up in Florida?
I'm done. I'm moving to anywhere else.
Oh my god. Well, listen. We don't know where they are. They are pretty haunted, according to sources. Now, like, your guess is if it's an ancient curse or just like a arts and crafts project gone wrong, I guess. It was so wrong, it cursed itself. But the moral of the story is if you ever find anything in the garden that has eyes or a weird grin, leave it there.
Leave it alone. Teach your kids to leave shit outside.
Yeah. Did it start outside? It ends outside too. Put it back.
Because I can tell you right now, Annie would be the one to bring the damn heads home. I have to tell her all the time, sticks live outside. Leaves live outside. Bugs absolutely, well, she's terrified of bugs, but bugs absolutely live outside.
So what I'm hearing is Annie's going to be the one to bring those in.
Without a doubt in my mind, yeah.
Would she tell you, or would she just take them straight to her room?
I'm going to send you a picture of what I found at work the other day. Okay, let me find this. I really hope I saved this picture. Because when I saw it,
I immediately text James and I was like, what in God's name is going on right now? I did. It's right here. Hell yeah. Okay. Let me know when you get that.
What is that? Is that a leaf?
That is grass in the straw of her tumbler, which I found at work as I poured out the old water and was putting new water in it.
Why was her tumbler at work with you?
Oh, because if the kids, I bring them water when I pick them up after daycare. They're thirsty. So I always get them water. I just fill up their water bottles at work.
Water bottles.
I bring their water bottles to work, fill them up with water, give them to them after school. Why there was grass in the straw, I don't know. So yes, Annie will bring home the Hexum heads, and I will find them in a random place that should not have a head or rocket.
And you're going to be like, that's why we've had poltergeists. That's why the dishwasher keeps slamming in the middle of the night. I thought it was Annie this whole time.
That's why we have ghosts and ants. Yes. Because Annie's got a freaking rock in her jacket pocket, and it's July, and she hasn't worn that jacket since December. Yes. That's why. Or it's in like I don't even know. Like grass in a straw of your cup. Where am I going to find something at?
You probably don't want to know. You know what? Keep that obsidian rock close.
Did I tell you? She broke one?
Oh, she did?
How'd she break one? She snapped it. Yeah. I mean, I wear them literally all I only take them off when I clean or like do the dishes when I clean something like that or take a shower. I wear them all the time. So it was kind of worn out. But she went to grab my hand and she grabbed the bracelet and snapped it. So I have all the rocks. I just have to put them all back together.
I was going to say, put them in a vase.
That's a really cute idea.
Yeah, put them in a vase.
I like that.
And then buy some fake flowers and put them in this one. Fake flowers in.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I'm going to do that.
I've got good ideas.
Yeah.
And then what we can do is every year I just send you a new rock that's supposed to protect you. And when she breaks the bracelet, you just put it in. And then you have a jar of protection.
And I can have it buried with me when I die. I don't know why I went there.
You know what? You can have it buried with you along with all your teeth.
No, my teeth are going to my friend. So you're getting a tooth.
I was hoping.
You think I forgot?
I was hoping we could convince you otherwise.
Oh, no. Nope. It's in the will. I don't have a will, but I know that's the first part of it. I'm going to go see a lawyer, and he's going to be like, okay, what's the most important thing to you? And I'm going to be like, my wisdom teeth, they're not in my mouth. Don't worry. I already handled that. They're going to go to Bryce.
Wait, shouldn't James get half of them at least?
No.
Oh.
He won't.
What happens if I return to sender?
You can't. Are you really gonna deny my dying wish?
I would prefer to be haunted by you than haunted by the teeth.
What if I get it put in? Oh, what if I get it made into some nice resin jewelry?
No. Okay, what if? Okay, hear me out. What if you send me the teeth?
Uh-huh.
And I put them in a special place where I never have to look at them again.
Where is this special place?
I haven't decided because that special place could change by the time I'm old and senile.
I mean, I would probably be okay with this. It can be like the finger tornado that my granny has.
Yeah.
Yeah. And every now and then you just take it down, show it to your grandkids, put it back up, and
these
refill
are Amanda's
it with the
wisdom teeth.
Oh, look, it's getting low. I gotta put more alcohol in it.
You don't need alcohol in with your wisdom teeth.
Yeah, but we do with the finger, so.
Well, the finger's a you problem. I'm getting the wisdom teeth. There's a difference, okay?
I have told my grandma before, like, when I was...
You've told her?
It's just weird. Absolutely, yeah. She has, like, I think it's like a Japanese. I don't know if it's a Japanese style. I think it's like Japanese jewelry box. I don't care about the jewelry. Just, whoever can get the jewelry, I'll take it, I guess. But I want that jewelry box and I want your finger. Mm-hmm. That's all I want. I don't feel like I'm asking for a lot. Guys, no. If y'all don't remember, the finger is not attached anymore.
Just to clarify.
Yeah. After I said that, I was like, wait.
If this is your first ever episode that you're listening to, the finger is not attached. It has not been attached in how long?
She was a little girl. So 60 years? Yeah, 60, 70 years. Yeah, so it's just been in like a little bottle, like almost like a prescription bottle.
It's a family heirloom at this point, okay?
Yeah, or it will be. One day. She would just take it out and, you know, twirl it around like you do the bottle tornadoes. There, it's a little finger tornado. That's all. It's like a snow globe, but with a family touch.
And then the teeth that we're referring to, Amanda kept her wisdom teeth.
Yeah, he let me.
You know what? I did ask if I could keep my fallopian tube.
I still think it's messed up that they wouldn't let you. I made it.
They sent it for testing, so fine.
So let me keep a pee. You don't need the whole thing.
Fine, it's fine.
I know they threw some out. Or
I know they threw the whole thing out.
They probably like cremated or something. I don't know. What do you do with organs when they're done with them?
Don't they cremate them?
I would imagine. Like that's what I'm thinking. Hand.
When he got it back, the homie's hand. What's his name? Aaron Ralstein? Ralstein?
Yes.
Aaron is his first name. They cremate him, right?
Well, I thought they cremated his hand so he could scatter the ashes.
I don't necessarily think it was so he could scatter the ashes. I think they had to do something with it.
Well, I doubt they would let him scatter the pieces.
Well, I don't necessarily think they were cremating his hand with the intention of giving him the ashes to scatter. They had the intention to give him the ashes. So this is last week's story, guys. But they took the hand so that other people, like morbid fucked up people, didn't go and look at it and try to collect it themselves. Sure. So they took the hand, cremated it. But I assume they do the same thing with like random organs.
That's what I would as well.
Okay. What?
This is a wild episode.
Happens to your organs if they are removed? When organs are removed from the body, they quickly begin to deteriorate due to lack of...
Well, duh, Google, we know that.
The specific fate of an organ, timing of the for organ donation. Once removed, organs can no longer receive, and they need this leads to preservation, medical waste. Okay, organs that are not suitable for transplant or research are treated as regulated medical waste and disposed of accordingly, often through incineration.
Ah, so we know what we're talking about.
Hey guys, in case you're wondering, my little fallopian tube was incinerated. That's bullshit. I didn't get the ashes back to scatter. Wait.
That's okay. You don't need the ashes. I'll send you a tooth.
What if I wanted to send you the ashes of my fallopian tube?
I would take them. I would wear them around my neck.
I don't have anything to send you, okay?
Ugh, this is bullshit. I need your doctor's name. I'm going to submit a formal.
He's going to be like, who is this patient? That was over a year ago. She had babies. She's done with me. Moving on.
Y'all, I'm sorry. This was a wild episode.
And it just keeps getting crazier. So we probably should wrap up. I think Amanda's really tired. I did forget to, I mean, I don't necessarily think I forgot to mention, but I didn't mention there are pictures.
What was the story again? Oh, the heads.
11 o'clock. Oh my God, it's 10 o'clock. My child's still not asleep.
I hate them.
Oh God, they're awful. I know.
Oh my God, even the kids posing with them, is this whole thing is very uncomfortable. Yeah. Family fear, another night of terror. I mean.
Yeah, me too. And they pose with them?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh God, okay. Well, thank you all for listening to Helen Heels Podcast. To see pictures from this episode, you can follow us on Instagram, Helen Heels Podcast, X Helen Heels Pod, or Facebook, Helen Heels Podcast. You can find us on Linktree by typing in Helen Heels Podcast Linktree. If you want to support us, please like, review, rate, and share, and subscribe on your preferred listening platforms. If you have your own true crime or paranormal story suggestions or just words of encouragement, please email us at helenheelspodcast@gmail.com. Thank you all so much for listening. Be sure to tell or force your friends to listen with you as well. Bye.
Bye.